Simon Plosker, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Welcome. It's lovely to speak to you again. Simon, I'm here in studio with other Simon, and we also joined in studio with by Tali Nates. She is the director of the South African Genocide and Holocaust Center. And, you know, if she wants to jump in, can she join our conversation?
Well, absolutely. And I think it's important that she does. And in the next couple of hours in Israel, we have Yom HaShoah. So it's definitely a time for that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So Simon Plosker, editor-in-chief at honestreporting.com. What is up with the New York Times?
Well, there's always something up with the New York Times. And it seems that things have reached something of a critical mass because around Thursday, I believe it was, the international edition, which isn't published in America, but it is elsewhere, it published a cartoon. And obviously this is radio, so listeners are going to have to bear with me if I just give you a very brief description. It shows a blind Donald Trump wearing a kippah, leading on a leash a dog caricature of Bibi Netanyahu with a Star of David around his neck. Now, this caused an outrage when people realized that it was in the international edition. It basically draws upon classic anti-Semitism, and it was utterly blatant. We have tropes of Jewish power and control. We have a Jew being portrayed as a dog. Put it like this, you don't have to believe me when I say it's anti-Semitic, because the New York Times itself eventually admitted that it was. And this is where it gets really quite remarkable, because firstly, the New York Times issued on a tweet, it said it was going to issue an editor's note in the Monday edition of the international edition. And it basically said that the image was offensive and it was an error of judgment to publish it. And it said that the cartoon had been provided by a syndication, which has since deleted it. Now, most people at this point were fuming, because what the New York Times really should have done was apologize. And there was anyone who's been looking at social media the last couple of days or the Honest Reporting website will see that there was a huge level of outrage. And the New York Times clearly realized that it had made a serious error here. And eventually it did issue an apology. It actually apologized, issued a statement. And it even allowed Bret Stephens, some people may remember he was actually the editor of the Jerusalem Post many years ago. He's now a columnist for the New York Times. He wrote a piece in his own newspaper, and it said that the New York Times owes the Israeli Prime Minister an apology, and it owes itself some serious reflection as to how it came to publish that cartoon and how its publication came to many longtime readers as a shock but not a surprise. And he basically accused his own newspaper of having such a serious institutional problem with Israel and Jews that it had crossed the line into anti-Semitism. And this was really quite a remarkable moment, I believe.
Do you think, Simon, that this is going to make any difference to editorials going forward?
Well, what was really quite remarkable as well was between the first editor's note and the apology, the international edition published another cartoon, and this one was of Bibi Netanyahu holding the tablet with a selfie stick. It wasn't necessarily anti-Semitic, but you have to wonder what sort of obsession is going on there that they have to keep publishing cartoons of Bibi Netanyahu or Israel-related stuff, irrespective of whether it's anti-Semitic. And this is part of the problem, that this obsession is driving this drip, drip, drip effect. The inordinate amount of criticism of Israel that appears in the paper and all this cartoons like these, it's driving anti-Semitism, certainly from the left. Now, of course, there's the argument about it's coming from the right as well, especially in America. Yes. But the New York Times really has to start looking at itself and needs to take action. We haven't heard yet about any heads rolling. I think people should be fired, because the New York Times claims that this was a single editor who was not being given enough oversight. The fact of the matter is that even if this wasn't meant to be anti-Semitic, the person responsible couldn't recognize anti-Semitism when it hit him in the face. He thought it was just anti-Israel. And that is the argument we keep hearing over and over again. It wasn't anti-Semitic, it was just anti-Israel. And quite frankly, I hope that this is a learning moment for the New York Times and for others.
What's so unbelievably mind-blowing is that this is happening in a city of 6 million Jews.
Yes, that's absolutely true. And I think there's something of an attitude of the New York Times that goes back in history that they've had issues with Jews in Israel. And I think that being under Jewish ownership, some people there, they feel they have to go above and beyond to criticize Israel and Jewish causes so that they don't get accused themselves of being, too pro-Jewish, if you will.
What I did find interesting, and I'm not here to protect the New York Times at all, but they did own up to the fact of their guilt and their complicity during the Holocaust, prior to and during the Holocaust. That they clearly stated in their so-called apologies, what I would refer to it as.
So you know what that reminds me of?
Yeah.
Do you know what thalidomide is?
There's the kids who...
Thalidomide.
The babies with...
Yes,
the hands?
Yes, in the 1930s. It was 1950s, 60s, and 70s. It was a drug, an anti-nausea drug that was given to pregnant women. And it was produced by this German company. The people who sat on that board were actually doctors who had worked during the Holocaust, right?
Oh, my goodness me.
And how that happened is a whole nother story. But after generations of children, they kept pushing this drug, thalidomide, under different brand names. And after generations of children, do you know what their apology was? Not that they had done that. Their apology was that it took them so long to respond. And that's how I feel about this New York Times apology. It's not really, it's a veiled apology, if you know what I mean. It's not a real apology.
It seems to me there were two parts to it. There was owning up, and then there was, oh, well, it's Trump's fault.
Yeah, it's Trump's fault.
I don't know. The brain
crazy.
Can't,
it's absolutely crazy. All right, Simon Ploska, is there anything you would like to add? Now that we completely hijacked your expertise.
Yeah, sorry, Simon.
I'm sorry.
No, I would like to add before we go. We've been campaigning at Honest Reporting for the mainstream media to adopt the internationally recognized definition of anti-Semitism as produced by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. And we've launched a petition, and we're going to present it to mainstream media, including the New York Times. So please, listeners, get onto our website, sign the petition, give us enough numbers and signatures so that we can actually say that we're making an impact on the New York Times and others. Because I think it's important that now that they're recognizing what anti-Semitism is, they need to move forward on this.
Absolutely. Simon Ploska, always a delight to speak to you, even though the subject matter is always pretty serious because it deals so much with anti-Semitism and false representation in the media of Israel and the Jewish people. So thank you very, very much for your time. And we will speak to you next week, please, God.
Thank you very much.